So Psalm 63, you've got it there, page 579. Just look down there. You've got the title of the psalm, Psalm 63. And then you've got, and quite often you've got these in the psalm, a little description of the psalm. They were part of the original. They're actually really helpful. But this one, just underneath the title, Psalm 63, if you look down there now, a psalm of David when he was in the desert of Judah. Now, the context of this psalm, the desert of Judah, is striking. David, he'd been king in Jerusalem now for a number of years. He'd conquered his enemy. All was great. But now, he's in the desert of Judah. He'd been overthrown. He'd lost power. He was being pursued by his enemies. Someone else had become king over Israel. His opponent had taken over his land, had taken over his concubines and made a very public spectacle of this. David, he's got nothing. He's in fear of his life. He's literally in a desert place. And the person who's overthrown him, it isn't a foreign invader, a conqueror from abroad. It's his son, Absalom. You can read about it in the middle of 2 Samuel. His own son rebelled against him. And the people of Israel, his subjects, those people that he'd rescued time after time, they'd rejected him. They'd gone over to support Absalom. What a desperate situation. He'd lost everything. His wealth, his power, his family. His life's in peril. Now, if that was you, I'm sure you'd be praying to God. But what kind of prayer would you pray? What would you say in that context in a prayer to God? Well, here in Psalm 63... we've got a record of David's prayer at this moment of deep crisis. When he'd lost everything, David's response, look down there, it's to praise God, to honour God, to delight in God, to glory in God, to promote his majesty and power. As Jesus said in Matthew 6, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Psalm 63 is doing that. David is hallowing, we'll talk about that in a bit. David is hallowing God's name. It reads like a love letter. Verse 1, look down there. You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there's no water. It's not a superficial prayer. It's deep. It's detailed. It's like, and I didn't come up with this, it's not really my thing, but Sonnet 43 by Elizabeth Barrett Browning. How do I love thee? Let me count the ways. And then she goes on and lists the different ways that a lover's expressed. It's not just, I love you. It's detail. David here isn't satisfied just to say God loves you. He gives metaphor, imagery, adjectives, depth. It's expressive. He's thinking about the nature and the character of God. Verse 2, I've seen you and beheld your power. Verse 4, I will praise you as long as I live. And in your name, I will lift up my hands. Hallowed be your name. He's in the desert of Judah. But verse 5, with God, he's satisfied. He's complete. Verse 6, even though he can't sleep at night, presumably the pressures of the situation he's under, he's not able to sleep, but he remembers God. He thinks about him. When you have a restless night, when you're under pressure, is that what you do? You turn to God in prayer at those times, straight away. I'm not sure that's what I do. I think I might, you know, might have been awake for half an hour or so, and then, oh, I probably should pray about this. But Paul, David, he turns straight to God. David is treating God as infinitely, majestically, gloriously beautiful as he is, expressing it, putting God first. It dramatically changed David's perspective on everything. He's in a terrible situation, but he's more concerned about God than his health, his money, his family. God is more vital to him. John Calvin, when he was discussing the phrase, hallowed be your name, He said, it's to have your entire heart captivated with wonderment for God. C.S. Lewis, about the same thing, said, when you enjoy something, that joy overflows into praise. It's not saying in that phrase, God, your name is hallowed. We're not making a declaration, a statement. We're actually, when we pray that, it's a request for God's name to be set apart as unique, special, glorious. It's a request that we would treat God like David does here in Psalm 63. That in all contexts, in all circumstances, we would hallow God's name, praise him, honour him, glory in him. It's a prayer that we'd fear no one, trust no one, love no one more than we do God and his precious name. It's a request that we get our priorities right. Our greatest good is to rejoice in God's glory. And that's what David does there in Psalm 63. In the depth of a desperate situation, he turns to praise. It's a beautiful psalm. As Rob said last week, we were thinking about the immense privilege that we have of being adopted as God's son. We pray, our Father in heaven. We're adopted as God's son. We're in a relationship with Almighty God. We call him Father. When we pray, we have the right of access to our Father in heaven. We're not outside the family, we're in the family. We've got the family name. And when we approach God in prayer, we do so as one of his dearly beloved children. But we also need to remember who we're approaching. I've never prayed our dad in heaven, because that would seem sort of almost disrespectful of his nature, his character. Yes, I have that intimacy of that relationship. But when we approach, when we say Father, I think it brings some of that awe and that respect of God. Jesus said, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. God's name demands respect, honour, praise, fear, worship, glory, delight. That's what we're saying in that phrase. And actually, getting that right, putting God first, like David did in Psalm 63, the actual Lord's Prayer itself, the structure, helps us to get it right. The order which Jesus taught us to pray. When my children, Henry and Helena, talk to me, they're very good at asking for things that they want. That's something they're very gifted at doing. They're not quite so good at telling me what they like or respect or value about me as their father. It's quite a long time often, into an evening, if ever, they'll get to the point of saying, oh, Dad, how was your day? What did you get up to? It's very much centred around what they are and what they do and what they want. But up to a point, that's fine. You know, I'm a long way short of being the perfect father who deserves praise and honour. But God is our perfect father. And he deserves our complete focus and attention. Think about your prayers. When you pray, what do you say in your prayers? Do you, like my kids do you just talk to God about your life and what you've got coming up, what you need? The situation, the circumstances that you're facing in this life. Is that the content of your prayers? And those are good things to pray about, by the way. But is that the first thing you pray about? Is that the only thing you pray about? Do you ever talk to God about how much you delight in him? How glorious he is, how majestic, how powerful, how beautiful he is. Think about the prayer that Jesus taught us, the Lord's Prayer. It's up here. It'll come up on the screen. I've spread it out as the structure of the prayer. It starts with the address to God. We thought about that last week. The basis that we can approach God in prayer, our Father in heaven. That's the context of our relationship. That's the reason we can approach him in prayer. And then it's split into two sections of three. The first section is all about God. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Jesus teaches us to pray first about God. Acknowledge God. Focus on God. And it's only then, in the bottom half, that we get to our own needs. And it's right we pray about those. But first off, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. It shows that praying that order, that way, the way that Jesus taught us, it shows that we're concerned about what God wants in his world more than what we want. Too often we get caught up in our lives. By putting our concerns first, we're showing we're more concerned with our needs than with God's honour, his rule, his plans. Following Jesus' pattern for prayer reminds us that the world doesn't revolve around us. This is God's world, created by him and for him. We're created for God's glory, not our glory. Prayer isn't about getting God to do what we want. Prayer's about getting us to do what he wants. Speaking to God in prayer, starting with your or you, is vital for a healthy relationship with our Heavenly Father. It's a request that we'd know God better. And secondly, it's a request that we'd live a life that honours his name. It's a request that echoes that verse that's on the top of your sheets, from Psalm 115, verse 1. Not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory, because of your love and faithfulness. Praying as Jesus taught us to pray gets our thinking straight, our priorities straight, our character straight. The word hallowed, it means holy. It's something that is cherished, respected, honoured. We use it, the only time it really in common language is used is about sports stadiums these days. You know, the hallowed turf, that kind of thing. But it's something that's respected and honoured and cherished. With regards to the Lord's Prayer, hallowed be your name, it's a request that God's name would be worshipped as holy, adored with reverence, honour and respect by us and everyone everywhere. Hallowed be your name. Now, fair question, I guess, is God just being an egomaniac when he tells us to make this the priority in prayer? You know, of course, for us to get people to glory in us, in ourselves, would be sinful, because we're not worthy of being hallowed. But God is. God is holy, perfect, all-powerful, supreme, sovereign, ruler over all. For him not to have all the attention and praise is sinful. It's idolatrous. He deserves it all because of who he is. And the more we know God, the more we'll realise how immense he is and how he deserves our complete devotion and honour in everything. Hallowed be your name. What's in a name? In our culture, I think actually we've lost something of the significance of a person's name. Peter, my name, means rock. But I wasn't called Peter because of what the name meant. I was called Peter because my parents liked the sound of the name. And they like having apostle names for their kids. But still sometimes today, a name does conjure up feelings and memories. Names can produce a reaction. Again, think about sport. I'll say some names, they'll bring up memories for you. Pele, Maradona, Nicholas, Senna. Or history. Hitler, Churchill, JFK, Wilberforce. You know, all of those names produce a reaction because of our knowledge about those people, what we know about them, what those people did, positively or negatively. And when we hear the name God, what images, what memories, what thoughts does that produce in you? Hallowed be in your name is a prayer asking that we'd respond when we hear his name with awe and wonder at the name of God because of his works. The greater depth we know God, the greater our depth of understanding about what his name means. But it's more than that. Of course it's more than that. In biblical times, the meaning of a person's name was itself significant. You often get the footnotes. So-and-so was called this because this happened, and their name exactly represented something about them. And it's true with the names of God. In the Bible, particularly Old Testament, there are lots and lots of names. And they teach us all about his character, who he is, what he stood for, what he's about. And you get images and attributes ascribed to God, all of them teaching us about the value of God, so that we can worship him. But we're just going to think about two of them, by far the most common two, just very briefly. So hallowed be your name, well, the name of God, Elohim. That should be up there on the screen. Elohim, it's translated God in our Bibles. It means, it's the Old Testament, it means creative ruler. It's a Hebrew word. It means creative ruler. Elohim represents the supernatural power of God. And in asking for his name to be hallowed, we're asking God to rule us because he's our creator. This reminds us that we're not in charge. We're merely creatures before the all-powerful creator and ruler of all. It's his world. So let's do what he wants us to do. Right at the start of our prayer, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, creator God, Elohim. And the second most common name is Yahweh. This in the Old Testament is translated Lord in capital letters, capital L, capital O-R-D. Lord, that's, when you see that, that's the word, Hebrew word Yahweh translated for us. It's the name that God told Moses in the burning bush back in Exodus, when he said, which we've got as I am who I am, which is trying to express something of the depth of God. Nothing can prevent God being who he is. Nothing can stop him doing what he wants. But it's more than that. It's a personal, it's a relational name. The name means faithful redeemer. That's the name of God. Hallowed be your name, Elohim, Yahweh. And these names are expressed in the New Testament in the name of Jesus. The apostles healed, cast out demons, raised the dead by the name of Jesus. We're saved by the name of Jesus. Joel in the Old Testament says the same about the name of Yahweh. You're saved by the name of Yahweh, the Old Testament, New Testament, was saved by the name of Jesus. And in Isaiah 45, verse 23, God says, Elohim says, before me every knee will bow, by me every tongue will swear. And then in the New Testament, Philippians 2:10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The name of God, the name of Jesus, used synonymously, interchangeably. Hallowed be your name. When we pray that, we're praying we'd honour our Father in heaven, Yahweh, Elohim, and the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're praying that we'd do that in our language, what we say, in our actions, what we do, and in our engagement with the world, how we react to others. Hallowed be your name. In all areas of our life. We show it when we fear God more than we fear man. And the word fear there is respect, honour. It's not the Halloween Fright Night thing. It's much deeper than that. Isaiah chapter 8. The Lord of hosts, him you shall regard as holy or hallow. Him you shall regard as hallowed. Let him be your fear. Let him be your dread. That means we're putting God first, we're hallowing God by putting his desires above our own, respecting him more than ourselves. Don't fear losing your house or your wife or your children or your bank account or your prestige. Instead, fear the prospect of saying no to God, rejecting God, not living for God. When we pray, hallowed be your name, we're saying, Father, cause me to have such a high view of you that it's much more dreadful to lose your approval than to lose anything the world can offer. Get my thinking straight. Hallowed be your name. We're asking God to deepen our faith, We're asking God to enable us to trust his word, an expression of his faith, our faith. We're asking God to put those words into practice so that his name would be hallowed. This is a massive prayer that Jesus is teaching us to pray. We hallow the name of God when we keep his commandments. Because when we sin, which is not keeping his commandments, we're showing that God isn't enough for us. We need something else. You haven't provided for me. We're showing he doesn't maybe have enough power or love or is not fulfilling me or satisfying me. I'm not content in you, God, therefore I'm going to look elsewhere. That's the opposite of hallowing God's name. And that should make us feel awful, which is why we pray a prayer of confession, to say sorry for doing those things which aren't honouring God. Think about it separately. I was thinking about it this week. How you feel when a Christian leader rejects the gospel or falls into sin. You know, someone is respected. You can think of the damage it does. We should weep and mourn and wail when we see those things. It's awful. And sadly, it's too frequent when we see these things happen. We should weep, but not because it damages the reputation of that person or the reputation of the church or a denomination or a church organization. We should weep because of the damage it does to the name of the Lord. People laugh about the church because of what his people do in his name. That's awful. But outside the church, when you're engaging with the world, when we hear people using God's name as a swear word, when you hear someone saying Jesus Christ as a swear word, how do you feel? Does it offend us more than if we heard the F word or the C word on a telly program? Does blasphemy offend us more than that? Because I think it should. This is the God who created you. This is the God who redeemed you. This is the God who loves you, the perfect Father. And his name is used as a swear word. Think about someone you love, your sibling, your spouse, your child, someone you love. How would you feel if their name was used as people use God's name and Jesus' name? How would you feel if their names, if their reputation was trashed as our culture does Jesus, or used as a joke or a swear word as Jesus' name is frequently? You'd be offended, wouldn't you? You'd defend them. You'd be concerned for how their name was being used. And here we are thinking about people using God's name, which is more valuable than your own in that way. Now, obviously, as Christians, we should never use the Lord's name, use God's name in vain. That's a terrible thing, just to use it dismissively. If you do that, then please ask God to enable you to stop and to hallow his name appropriately. He died for you. It's by Jesus' name you're saved. But actually, I'm not sure that we should call out non-Christians every time they say Jesus Christ as a swear word or blaspheme. I think it depends on your relationship with that person, to whether you actually pull them out every time someone disrespects God's name when they're not hallowing it, because they don't know Jesus as their Lord and Saviour. His name isn't as precious to them as it is to us. So if you go around just in the streets as every time someone says something, then that's actually, I think, not going to help you in your relationship or you in your witness. But if you know someone well enough, maybe you sit in an office with them, sharing this office space with them, and you could say in a gentle way to someone who repeatedly uses Jesus' name as a swear word, you could possibly say to them, well, would you mind not saying Jesus in that way, because he's very important to me? You don't have to make a big thing of it, but you could say it quite gently, and it might just give you an opportunity to tell them why Jesus is so important. Because the greatest answer to the prayer, hallowed be your name, is when someone calls out to God for his name to be, for them to be saved for the first time. It's when someone calls on the name of the Lord for their salvation. That's the power that's within that name. So maybe that's an opportunity in your context. But the key thing is for us. We're praying here firstly for us to hallow God's name in what we say, in what we do and how we engage with the world. But when others do it, I think we should be offended, and maybe there's an opportunity there. Because the most important name in the world is the name of God. It's not the name of our nation, it's not the name of Windsor, it's not the name of your family, your surname, that's not most important. God's name is our number one priority when we pray as Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. In your prayers, what's the first thing that you pray about? If it isn't as Jesus taught us here, well, maybe this week, try it. Consciously try to order your prayers as Jesus does in the Lord's Prayer. A helpful way to do that, if you're not sure what to do, read a Bible passage. And then when you've read it, a few verses, longer maybe if you want, whatever, just read a Bible passage, and then talk to God about what that says, what it tells you about him and his character, his power, his attributes. Turn what you've read into a prayer to God about him. Practical way to try. Just try it this week. And then pray about your own issues, of course. But prioritise as Jesus puts the priority. Our focus on prayer first to him. Look at the Bible. Pray about it. Praise God. Honour God. Express your love to God creatively, expansively, enthusiastically, within your own character. Many of you are much more creative than me. Do that. Use that. You're talking about the God who loved you enough to make you and to save you. Praying, hallowed be your name, is asking God to make his top priority our top priority. Our joy will be complete when God's name is hallowed over the whole earth. And we're asking God to help us to do that.